In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's now nearly 3 weeks since the time that a revolution took off, began here in our local community, and spread quite literally like wildfire, or I guess we should say arson fire, spread from the Twin Cities here across major cities of the United States and even into distant countries. It is a revolution. It has little to do with the unjust act of a police officer toward one individual. That is the excuse for a revolution. It is a revolution which is filled with rage and contempt and hatred and violence and murder. Here in our own Twin Cities, more than 1,500 buildings have been burned to the ground or burned inside out or smashed to smithereens and or looted. More than 1,500 buildings. And in other places, the similar fires have been set and lives have been lost, or rather, lives have been taken by homicide. Make no mistake about it, this rioting, this murderous, destructive rage is nothing short of a revolution. And I go back almost 60 years to another time when we had a revolution taking place in our streets and on our campuses. I was very young at the time, but still remember seeing images on our old black and white television, you know, the ones that took 1 to 2 minutes to warm up. Seeing images of flags being burned, race riots in the streets, demonstrations on college campuses. It was a revolution. A revolution intended to change things in America. And change has taken place. But I fear this revolution even more. Not only because I am older and understand more of what's happening, but this revolution seeks such a radical change that it's really seeking change through collapse. It is a revolution of anarchists, arsons, and terrorists. They literally want to collapse our society as we know it, to replace it with something else. The revolution in the streets of America. But you know, there's another revolution that is taking place now that we should be fearful of. And it too had its roots in the 60s. It is the revolution within the institutional Catholic Church. Not coincidentally, as the revolution was taking place in society, there was a revolution taking place even within the bosom of the church in the 60s. A revolution that has sought and continues to seek a change to nearly every aspect of Catholic life. Seeks to change our doctrines. Seeks to change the Mass and the sacraments. Seeks to change morality. seeks to change Catholic practice. No area left untouched. And just as that change began in the 60s and continues now more fervently than ever, like the streets, the revolution has been within the church itself. In the past week or so, a great man, a great churchman, Archbishop Vigano, has written two public letters, one to a president and one to the public, really to Catholics and others who should be Catholic. Archbishop Vigano wrote an open letter to President Trump in which he warned our president that the revolution in the streets, as represented by these riots and acts of violence, is really warfare. Warfare of what the Archbishop calls and Scripture calls the children of darkness making war against the children of the light. Those are not racial images. Those are biblical images that come from Christ Jesus himself. You're either of the light of God, the light of Christ, or you're of the darkness of the prince of this world. And Archbishop Vigano warns our president that this is a war. It is a revolution. The children of darkness have malevolent intentions. Make no mistake about it. They want to overthrow our society. They want to put it into chaos. They want to destroy the world as we know it. Because the Prince of Darkness wants to destroy our world, overturn our laws. President Trump, who's famous for tweets, tweeted his gratitude to Archbishop Vigano. And by the way, it was appropriate that the Archbishop should write a public letter to President Trump because for years, Archbishop Vigano was the papal nuncio to our nation, the Pope's ambassador, whose residence was in Washington, D.C. The Archbishop cares deeply about our nation, about our people, and he has deep respect for our president. But then another public letter was published by the Archbishop, this one more to Catholics and to anyone else who will listen, about another revolution about which I just spoke, the revolution within the Catholic Church. And in something unprecedented, really unprecedented, someone of his stature, a former nuncio to the United States of America, a former high-level Vatican diplomat and Vatican employee who was perhaps only third below the Pope himself at one time, a man who was fully immersed in his seminary training and throughout his priesthood and episcopal life, immersed in the Second Vatican Council. He did his seminary studies while the council was taking place. He was ordained shortly after, right into the very time of the 60s when the revolution was gaining force. He now admits publicly that he was wrong. That he was wrong for 60 years or so about the revolution and its roots. And he now says that what we see by way of bad fruit of the revolution as it's reaching its apex has its roots not only in the 60s, but in the Council of the 60s, the Second Vatican Council. That the roots of what we are experiencing now, the bad fruit, has its roots there. And he cites examples. The idol veneration and worship of Pachamama mother goddess statues that has taken place to our highest levels, even to the point of an idol of a mother goddess being placed on the most sacred altar on the face of the earth, the altar that stands within the walls of St. Peter's Basilica, the altar that stands over the tomb of St. Peter, alongside of all things, the bread and wine that becomes the most precious body and blood of Christ, the sacrifice of the Mass, placed right there beside the precious body and blood of Christ is a Pachamama idol of some sort of mother goddess by Francis himself. He uses that example and says, you'll find the roots in that council. He gives other examples as well. This is what many of you have been saying for many years, if not your entire lives. But no one would listen. And in fact, you were silenced, if possible. Because that council of all the councils of the church has somehow been canonized, as though every word written in that council is infallible, a dogma of the faith, as though the council itself is a dogma. Not so. The dogma of the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist that we celebrate today in this feast, that's a dogma. You can't be Catholic without believing it. The feast of last Sunday, the Most Holy Trinity, that's a dogma. You can't be Catholic without believing that. But can you be Catholic if you deny the statement of the council that Muslims worship the same God that we do? Is that a dogma of the Catholic faith? Is that even true? No and no. There are many other examples as well. So my friends, we have two revolutions, if you wish. Or maybe we should say there's a war with two fronts. There's the war front that is in our streets, and there's the war front that is in our churches. They both were hatched in the 60s, and they're reaching a certain heightened frenzy and apex right now. And if we try to defend ourselves in this war against the children of darkness, if we try to defend ourselves without God, we will lose, because we are facing a preternatural enemy. The prince of darkness, Satan, and his demons are behind these revolutions, the two-front war. We can't win against creatures that are so much more mobile and brilliant than we are, better strategists. But we can and we will win if we look to the supernatural, because God is infinitely higher than Satan and the preternatural world. So if the world wants to be saved, it needs to turn back to God and turn away from the prince. If the church wants to prevail, we need to turn away from what Archbishop Vigano calls a parallel church, which is a counterfeit church, and turn back to true religion as we find it in our traditional form. We should be very grateful to Archbishop Vigano for speaking so loudly and boldly and in an unprecedented manner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.